Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen one. Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving one. And we can see, and we can see that God, you're moving, a mighty river through the nations, and young and old return to Jesus. Fling wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord. Come on, open up the doors. Feel it this morning? Are you feeling it? We join with millions of other believers across the globe and join together. We can hear and feel. We use strange words in Christianity, don't we? You hear it, you feel it, you see it, but we have that. We serve an unseen God, right? We feel, but we serve a God that is alive, that is alive. We don't serve a dead God. So it's okay to feel things. It's okay to hear his voice. It's okay to feel the mountains tremble. And we're here for a purpose. We're here for those people who are around us. We have the ministry of redemption. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your love. Lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Always worthy. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Oh, we live for you. We live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are. Fill me with your heart. Lead me in your love to those around me. Build and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We thank you for this time to come and worship with you and worship you. We invite your presence into every heart and every mind here today, Lord God, as you prepare our hearts to receive your word, whether it's a new seed, whether it's water for a seed that you've planted before. We just expect growth in each and every one of us as we grow together in unity and oneness in you. As you draw us together, Lord God, we just praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've got a few announcements this morning. Matter of fact, I've got about three or four of them. So you might want to grab a pencil or something, take some notes here for some things that might be relevant to you. First off, Vacation Bible School is, the registration's already passed. But for those who've registered, the date, as a reminder, is August the 10th through the 14th. And you can pick up your very best summer box, your activity box, right here at Rhema Christian Center on Friday, August the 7th. And families will do VBS activities at home this year. And I really think that's kind of neat. Because, you know, for families who before maybe not have participated in Vacation Bible School with their children, they get an opportunity to do that in their home this year together and grow that family together in Christ. So there'll be more details about times and pickup times for that soon, so keep your eyes open for that. Now, the IMO Christmas boxes, the boxes that Christmas boxes we send to Haiti every year, please use the 12-quart plastic rectangular containers and secure them with packing tape. Secure them really well because they get banged around a lot on that ship, and we don't want them to be spilled out when we get there, when it gets there. So please send your $25 custom fee to IMO P.O. Box 1145, Clendenin, West Virginia, 25045, 1145, prior to shipping. That'll take care of the shipping costs. So please indicate the reason for the check with the child's name, the child's number, and your account number. So they can drop those packages off here between Monday and Thursday from 9 to 2. And if you have any more questions about that, contact Dreema Hedrick. All right, now this is something dear to my heart is, you know, since I'm the growth group coordinator here at the church, we've been kind of shut down a lot here at the church, not be able to have a lot of small groups. We're kind of moving back into that. But we're still active. We're still having studies. We're still doing some things. So remember, we're still meeting this week via video conferencing. We do a Zoom call. And we encourage you to stay connected with the church. So if you're not involved in some kind of a group or growth group, it's important that you get plugged back in. So we stay connected. We stay growing together and learning together. We've been having some awesome Bible studies in the book of John. So Mondays, we're meeting for the book study of Unoffendable by Brant Hanson. And we're discussing ways to forgive quickly and easily and letting go of things that offend us. And it's really been a good study. We're kind of early in the book, so if you want to get plugged into that, let me know. We'll send you a link out and you can join the discussion. I recommend that you buy you a book and read it, even if you don't join the study, because it's powerful. On Wednesdays, we have the Stand Student Ministries meeting with the teens to discuss the Bible and the real issues that they're facing today. So it's important we stay connected to our kids at this time. Also, we've been studying the book of John, as I just mentioned, and that's from 7 to 8:30, and we'd love to have you join that discussion. I think we're in about chapter 17 right now, aren't we, Pastor?
Yep.
So Celebrate Recovery is also meeting online on Thursday evenings, and if you or someone you know is dealing with hurts, hang-ups, or addictions of any kind, please contact Susan Honecker or the church, and we'll get you connected with that support group. So they're still active. That's awesome. They just had a virtual conference this past week, and it looked like they had a good time with that. So if you'd like to know more about any of these groups, just contact us here at the church or go online at therainbowlife.com, and you can sign up for those groups. All right, now, before I introduce Pastor, I walked off and forgot his book. But there's some books here at the giving containers down here. And he's going to give you a free copy of that book called The Melchizedek Key. Melchizedek Key. He and I kind of debated about that, how to say that, but he wrote the book, so I'm going to go with his. And I think he's right anyway. So he wants to put that book in your hand so that you can learn the principles of finance and money and giving, so that you can be in a covenant relationship in that part of your life and understand what it means to operate in the kingdom with your finances. Money's important, isn't it? Can we get by with anything in this world without some type of currency or money? So very important, especially in this day and time, to understand God's way of giving and tithing. All right, so now is the time that we're going to receive an offering, tithes and offerings. And as you can see, there's an offering container here at the front and one at the back. You can give as you go out if you like. And if you want to give online, there's different ways to give. You can give through, go directly to therainbowlife.com. If you've downloaded the app and you got your information already in there, it takes about 30 to 40 seconds to give right there. But if you do give, be sure to state the purpose of your giving so it goes to the right place. There's a little tab there you can give just for regular tithes or offerings. But if you want to go to a specific thing, be sure to put that in the notes section there too. Or you can mail your tithes here to the church. And the address should be on the screen for those who are watching online. So let's pray over the offering, over your giving. It's an important part of our life. So I want to be very encouraging to you about the blessings that God wants to pour into your life and the blessings that you've already done by your previous giving. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the generosity of you, the body of Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for our provision. You said in your Old Testament, you said that you were Jehovah Jireh. You're the Lord God who provides for us, and we would lack nothing if we trust you, Lord God. And you made covenant with us on giving and receiving. We just thank you for that simple to follow plan that you've given us. So, Lord, for those who are giving today, I pray a blessing on their tithes, on their offering, on their seed, that they would see clearly your wondrous power and your covenant-keeping promises that you've given us, Lord God. So I pray a blessing on that. And we ask, Father, in Jesus' name for that blessing. Amen. Now I'm going to turn it over to our pastor for the word this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Wake up. Y'all act like you're about half dead today. Wake up. Jesus is alive and well. I'm alive. You're alive. And what a joy we have today to have a baptism service. I'm so excited, I can't hardly talk about it. It's just good. God's good. This is going to be a great, great day in the Lord. I want to give everybody a free book. So if you're watching, all you need to do is write in, request your copy. We'll send you a free book. If you're here, please pick up a book. If we don't have enough out, we'll get some more out. Want everybody to have a book of the Melchizedek Key, okay? If you have your Bible today, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, Matthew chapter 6. And today I want to talk about, I'm really kind of picking up. I got preaching last week, got all excited, and I got to thinking about some things that I said in some statements, and I went back and I'm going to reiterate a little bit at the close of the message from 2 Peter 1 that I talked about last week. But today, I've titled this message, Is the Kingdom of God Really first? I'm asking that question. Is it really supposed to be first? Today, in this passage of Scripture from Matthew, I think it begins with some relevance to where we are in the situation. I want to read verses 31 through 34. And he says this, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." I mean, he's clearly saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. You know, we can worry about a whole lot of stuff. I think you can put right in there where you're going to live, all those things. I don't think we're supposed to worry as Christians about these things. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. And then he says in verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You know, every day has its own trouble. Doesn't matter what you plan, what you look at, what you do, every day something else is going to come up that you've got to solve. But you know what's good? You and your heavenly Father are going to solve every problem that comes up. You're going to walk through it, you're going to get through it, and you're going to go where God wants you to go. As Steve said a while ago, if you have purpose in your life, you will fulfill the purpose if you desire to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. But here in this passage, he says, don't worry about the stuff. Don't worry about things. He says, seek first the kingdom. Now today, I want to do my best to be very, very clear. When you go to the New Testament and you begin to read, there are no real, what I would call real definitions of the kingdom of God, especially in the New Testament. You know, there's a passage of Scripture that says it's not eating and drinking, but and it goes on and says it's righteousness, peace, and joy, and we all have our interpretation of exactly what that is. But the kingdom of God is a little bit mysterious to us because we don't understand everything that it is. And so today I want to try to be just as clear as I can. The word kingdom is used 151 times in the New Testament. It's interesting, the word church is only used twice. Kingdom 151 times, church twice. And so because of the magnitude of the importance of the kingdom, Jesus came preaching the kingdom, and the kingdom is used so much in Scripture, I really want to understand the kingdom of God. So the question today is, do you really, God, want us to seek this mysterious kingdom first? You know, God's kingdom and the fullness of his kingdom is big. If I could say it that way, I'm saying it on purpose, but you know, the kingdom of God needs what I would call some big thinkers. Some of us need to think outside the box. We need to think bigger than what we're thinking when we think about seeking the kingdom first. One of the problems that I have, and I'm going to get into this a little more in the sermon, but when we think about the kingdom and we think about it being righteousness, peace, and joy, and it being on the inside of us, so many of us get very selfish with it and very individualistic with it, and we begin to just look at the kingdom and seek it first for ourselves and put it only in an individual context. In Ephesians, the third chapter, Ephesians chapter 3, Jesus, or the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, made a statement when he said, "Now to him who is able," talking about Jesus, "to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Now again, I'm saying, seek first the kingdom. The kingdom needs some big thinkers. We got to think outside the box. We got to begin to thinking, if it's seek first the kingdom, why is he saying that? Henry Ford made a statement and he said, a man can always do more than he thinks he can, so think big. A man can always do more than he thinks he can. Now I'm saying that because I read this passage in Ephesians because it says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Listen to me. If you think big, so big that you don't think you can think any bigger, God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could even ask or above what you can think. So I'm thinking, I need to think big. I don't need to think pessimistic. Do you know, I can't find any statues around the country built in honor of a pessimist. No. But you know, the church is full of pessimism. The kingdom of God has people who are pessimistic. We are living in a world today that has pessimism going clear through the roof. People are wondering, what's going to happen? What's going on? Well, I think we need to understand that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And you know what? I don't think he's up there wringing his hands worried about what's going to happen. I just don't believe that. To him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us. Do you know what I think that power is that works in us? Is the kingdom of God is alive inside of you. And that kingdom on the inside of you, when you're born again, you got to understand that God and his kingdom, Christ and the power of the resurrected Christ, comes to take up residence on the inside of you. And we've got to understand that this kingdom that lives inside of you is connected to all of creation. Do you realize all of creation? When God put this thing together and he made day and night, what he was actually doing was giving us a way to measure time. Genesis is not the beginning of all things, it's the beginning of time. He made day and night. He gave us a way to measure. Eternity is not a long, long time. It's when you quit measuring time. There's no such thing as time in eternity because eternity is no time at all. And so the kingdom that is within you is a lot bigger than just what's going on the inside of you, and you are a part of something that's bigger than anything you could ever imagine. If I have the kingdom and you have the kingdom, then together you and I can do. That's why he said if one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000, you and I together can do more than we can do by ourselves. And corporately, when you get multitudes of people coming together in unity and harmony, it's unbelievable. And then on top of that, he can still do more than we can ask or think. So the kingdom is bigger than you think it is. That's why he wants you to seek it first. It's bigger, listen to me, the kingdom is bigger and more than the church. The kingdom is bigger and more than politics. Yeah. Do you know the kingdom of God's bigger than politics? More important than politics? Listen, the kingdom of God is bigger and more than materialism. All of the stuff. That's why I said, don't seek these things. Don't worry about all this stuff. Seek first the kingdom. The kingdom is God's grand design for all of the universe. You know, when he created this world, when he created his kingdom, when he created man and he put man on this planet, when he made man and placed him here, all of creation it was a garden. It was a garden of plenty. It was a garden that was full of great things. And he placed man in his kingdom on this earth. He did all these things and then man fell. We know that story, but he said when Jesus came on the scene, He looked and he says, listen, guys, I want you to seek the kingdom first. Well, I want you to understand the kingdom's within you, but the kingdom's bigger than just what's within you. Why would Jesus look at us and say, seek first the kingdom? Do you realize he put the kingdom on a priority list of those who were going to follow him above everything else? He didn't say when it goes well with you, seek the kingdom. When everything's going good, seek the kingdom. He didn't say when you're struggling, seek the kingdom. He said, seek first. Don't worry about the stuff. Seek the kingdom first. Now, listen carefully to me say this. We forget this sometimes. The new birth, bringing, inviting Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, to come into your heart and accepting Christ. The Bible says when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you become born again. So this new birth that happens is a kingdom experience. Now listen, it's really not a church experience. We make it a church experience because that's normally where a lot of people get born. We think they should get born again at church. The right way is when you talk to somebody, you ought to share the love of God with them, and doesn't matter where you are, you can get born again. You don't have to be at church to get born again because the born again is bigger than just church. It's part of the kingdom. Now, the other thing I'd like to say, and I don't want to preach, but I've talked about this in recent weeks. When you're born again, when you receive Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says you have to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. When you're born of the Spirit and water, then you can enter the kingdom, and we'll talk more about that. But Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom. That's why a lot of people don't see the kingdom. They really don't understand what has happened in their lives. They're not born into the family of God and born again into the kingdom, so that they don't understand the righteousness there. You're now right standing with God when you're born again and Jesus comes in. You can see that you have a right standing with God. You can see the peace that passes all understanding, that you're at peace with God. God's not your enemy. God's not angry with you anymore. And you begin to have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. The glory that God decided that he would accept me where I am, that he would come and live on the inside of me. And I now have a relationship with God and his power. And he is living on the inside of me. So the new birth is a kingdom experience. It is an experience in the kingdom of God. Now listen to me. Reigning in life is a kingdom experience. It's a kingdom encounter. It's not a church encounter. You can go to church and be dead as doornails. A lot of them are. But if you're going to reign in life, you're going to have to understand that if the kingdom of God is a reigning in life, is a kingdom experience. It's about understanding. It's a kingdom encounter, I guess I should say. Here's what we're not seeing, and I've said this, but I want to reemphasize it. Church has made salvation totally personal. I've told you this, but several years ago I was preaching on this subject, and I made the statement that, you know, I hear a lot of preachers say, if you were the only one, Jesus would have died for you. And I'd hear these preachers make that statement, and I started looking for where do they get that from the Word of God. And I started looking, and I couldn't find anywhere in the Word of God where it said, if you were the only one. And I got to thinking about it, and I said, well, first of all, unless you're Adam, you're not the only one. Because ever since Adam, there ain't just been one. There's always been a bunch. Okay, they started growing and multiplying. And today the planet is full, so you're not the only one. Jesus didn't come for just only one. He came, listen to me, he came for the sins of the entire world. He came so that everybody on planet Earth could be born of the Spirit of God and begin to see the kingdom of God and have the kingdom of God operating in their life. we've made salvation too individualistic. I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm not saying it's not individualistic and that it's not something that you experience, but I'm saying, like I've said about some other stuff, it's more than just in you. Look around you. If somebody's sitting around you and they're born again of the Spirit of God, they're part of the kingdom of God. They can see the kingdom of God. It's more than just you. It's bigger than you. The other thing that I would say to you that the church needs to understand is that all of creation, everything on planet Earth, everything that's happening is waiting on the family of God, the children of God, the sons of God, the daughters of God to come to a place of maturity so that they can impact all of creation. All of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Do you realize that when the sons of God step into everything they're supposed to step into and begin to walking in the authority that they are supposed to be walking into, that creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God? If the children of God don't step into the glorious liberty that God has for us, how is the world and creation going to step into it with us? Notice it's waiting on the sons, plural, of God. Notice that it's waiting on the liberty of the children, plural. I was talking to somebody the other day and somebody asked them the question, they're one of five children. And they asked them, says, well, how do you like being one of five children? I said, oh, it's great. Said, I feel sorry for people that's only they're an only child. He said, man, how boring would that be to just grow up with mom and dad? Boy, that'd be terrible just to be around them all the time. It's great. He said, I like having bigger brothers and I like having little brothers. I said, man, it's really neat having brothers and sisters. I thought, what a great attitude. How boring would it be to be an only child? Now, I know some of you are only children and you're offended because I made that statement. Well, get over it. You're just thinking of you and you only. But it's fun to be in a family. It's fun to be a part of the family of God. It's fun to have the children of God. And we've got to understand that God is about a family. Now, this talk about creation and what I'm trying to get you to see and understand is all of creation is wanting to be restored to what it originally was, just like we as human beings are praying and wanting to be restored to what God originally intended for us. So salvation is more than just an individualistic thing where I get born again. Salvation is about me getting born again, you getting born again, the world getting born again, but it's also about creation coming back to its fullness where it's not hampered by the sin that entered the world and began to hamper everything. It's bigger than us. Salvation is also about not just the redemption of mankind, but the redemption of creation. Creation has been redeemed. We've got to understand what that redemption of creation is. All of creation is being brought back under the governing power of God the Father. We've made salvation just about us, and I'm simply saying it's bigger than just us. So when we seek first the kingdom of God, did Jesus really mean seek first the kingdom? Well, if I'm seeking first the kingdom, I'm not just seeking what's in it for me. I'm seeking what's in it for you. I'm seeking what's in it for all of creation because it's more than just about me. He said, seek first, the kingdom. Lord, why didn't you say, seek family first? You know, there's some people that would tell you, you should seek family above everything else, that family should be the first priority in your life. Well, Jesus didn't say that. That's not what Jesus taught. He says, he nowhere in Scripture did he say, seek family first and all these things will be added to you. He said, seek the kingdom first and all these things will be added to you. Some people believe that you should seek religion first. The reason I know that is they think their religion and what they believe is the most important thing in their life. Well, I want you to understand the kingdom is much bigger than what I can believe. The kingdom is much bigger than what I am. The kingdom of God is much bigger than just my church affiliation and my church background. It's bigger than that. Some believe seek society first. Everything is about society. Some people believe seek the state first. Whatever the state says, that's the way it is. Some people believe seek capitalism first. I saw a great video the other day that if you don't have Christ, capitalism won't work. If Christ is not the center of everything, capitalism don't work. So you should seek first the kingdom, not seek capitalism. It doesn't say, nowhere in Scripture does it say seek money and then all these other things will be added to you. You can do a lot with money. Money answers a lot of things and money's very important in our society. But it doesn't say seek money first and then all these things will be added to you. He doesn't say seek health first and all these things will be added to you. Nowhere in Scripture does he say seek pleasure first and all these things will be added to you. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. See, here's what I believe happens. If you and I seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added to us. Please listen to me say this. If I ignore the kingdom, then no wonder I walk around in darkness not understanding, because when I seek anything other than the kingdom first, I'm in darkness with what life is all about, because life of God is in the kingdom of God. And he's saying you've got to seek the kingdom first. We live in a day, in a world, in a time where so many people seek pleasure first. They seek pleasure instead of purpose. Well, what's your purpose? The purpose is the kingdom. Seek first God's kingdom. Now, I want to say right here in this message, and I want you to listen, I do not think I have all the answers, and I'm not trying to come across as one with all of the answers. But I do believe that I see, and that we've got to see, and we've got to restore the kingdom of God to a first place priority in our lives. See, I think the church has been guilty of seeking the church first instead of the kingdom first. I'm saying that as a pastor who loves people. I'm not down on the church. I'm not criticizing the church. But in the world we live in at the moment, we still can seek the kingdom of God, not just church. Do you know, if you go to the beginning of the New Testament and you look at the end of the Old Testament, I don't want to take the time, but I would just challenge you. Go to Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, and read Malachi 1, verse 6 through 9, along in there. You'll start talking about, if I'm a father, where's my glory? And then if you come to the end, the last few verses in the book of Malachi, the last few verses of the Old Testament, he closes the Old Testament saying that he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. He closes out the Old Testament under with this comprehension and understanding of the Father. And then we come to the New Testament, and the New Testament begins with Jesus coming on the scene as the Son of God, as a child of God. And Jesus is telling his disciples, this is how you pray. You go here in Matthew 6, and he says, our Father. The Old Testament closes out with this connotation of understanding Father. And then Jesus comes along, and here's Jesus, the Son of God, and he's looking at us and he says, here's how I want you to pray. He wants you to pray, our Father. Say, Pastor, I know that. Yeah, but here's the way most of us pray. My Father, who art in heaven. He didn't say, I want you to pray my Father who art in heaven. He said, I want you to pray our Father. Do you realize that God the Father is your Father and my Father and the Father of somebody sitting around you? The New Testament starts with our Father. Then he goes through this discourse, and you can read it there in Matthew 6. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. So he's saying, our Father, corporately, New Testament starting this way. Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, your will. Do you realize when you understand that you do the will of God, it's not about your pleasure, it brings pleasure to the Father. It's about His pleasure. Listen to me. The New Testament is about the Father that restores His government, His kingdom, your kingdom come, your will be done, your pleasure be done on the earth. And you know what happens when all that happens? When you begin to seek that, all things are added to your life. And then he goes into this course. Give us this day our daily bread, personal need. Forgive us. This is the way we relate to each other. Forgive us. And then he says, lead us. Don't lead me into temptation, lead me. Do you realize we need God to give us, to forgive us, to lead us? And then he says, deliver us. Now listen to me. The whole New Testament centers on this one fact. God is a Father. He is the Father of creation. Father means source and sustainer. He is first, and His kingdom, the Father's kingdom, is what we are to seek first. Let me read you this and try to say this way, because I want to say this a particular way. I'm saying, Lord, help me to see something that allows me to understand why Your kingdom should be first sought after in my life. Seek first the kingdom. His kingdom. Everybody say His kingdom. His kingdom. As a born again child of God in the family of God, you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. I am a part of His kingdom, to seek His kingdom, and I am now intended to live my life in such a way that it is pleasing to God as a Father. Now, I don't want to shake you with this, but I just need you to trust me and listen to this. See, I believe there's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ. You say, well, I thought the kingdom of Christ was the kingdom of God. Ultimately, it will be, but I just want you to hear me out on this. I want you to understand that God, the Father, turned all things over to the Son, and everything was about the Son, and Christ came to the earth to do a work and finish a work and do what His Father said to do, and all of that is part of that. But the kingdom of Christ, we presently are participating in the kingdom of Christ, and that's where the church is. That's where the church is there. He's building a church. And everything that we know religiously is in this sphere of what I would call the kingdom of Christ. And this kingdom of Christ has its own intention, but I want you to understand that Jesus Christ's intention is in the future. They're coming to a place when He's going to turn everything in His kingdom over to the Father. Hear me in that. Trust me in that. Listen to what I'm saying. So that God the Father has his kingdom restored in all his creation. Matter of fact, let me just read this to you in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to listen or read along with me, verse 24. It says, then comes the end when he, Jesus, delivers the kingdom to God the Father, to God and Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority, and all power. Now listen to this. The complete conclusion in Christ's work of redemption is celebrated in him, Jesus Christ, yielding the full harvest of his reign and everything that he has accomplished to God the Father. He's going to present everything that he did in redemption. But listen to me. He didn't just redeem mankind. He redeemed all of creation. If creation got cursed in the fall, Jesus came to restore all things. That's why he said, if you seek first the kingdom, all the things will be added. We've got to get this message. Christ's kingdom brought to naught the works of the law, which supported every definition of dominion under the fall, including principalities and powers and authority and every dynamic influence on society. What Jesus did was reversed everything that had happened there. Verse 25, notice what he says, for he must reign, Christ, till he puts all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. What will replace death? The Zoe, the life of God that is in us. And the life of God will triumph over every definition of death there is. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, he makes this statement. Probably don't have this in my notes, but I need to just make this statement to you. He says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together unto now. The whole creation groans and labors. What's it groaning about? It wants the restoration that Jesus provided available for it, creation. Father wants to be restored to his place in creation. Now let me close with 2 Peter chapter 1, where I took you last week and we read. I want you to see this. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life, Zoe, and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these great and precious promises, we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Notice he says there in verse 3, knowledge of him who called us. He called us to this place. You know, I've been focused the last few years on talking about our identity in Christ. I'm sorry that I offend people when I say I'm not a sinner, because I'm not a sinner. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not just a sinner. I've been born of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. People will look at you and say, yeah, but Pastor, you still sin. My flesh is still my flesh. That doesn't make me a sinner, because I am not a sinner. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a child of Almighty God. The new birth is about giving us a new identity. I am no longer the person I was before Christ came to live in me, and I need to capture the identity that Christ gave us in his redemptive act, and it's called being like Christ. It's talking about partaking of his divine nature. It's about restoring my identity so that I can function in a world that is fallen. It's not about going to heaven. It's about functioning in a world that has fallen. Hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me. My identity allows me, as I partake of his divine nature, to escape the corruption that is in the world. Lord, teach us how to escape the corruption that's in the world. 2 Peter 1 and 11 says, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of God." This is about Zoe, the life of God. In closing, I'll just say this. 40 times in the book of John, Jesus says, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am." He uses that phrase. We know about God saying, "I am," to Moses back in the Old Testament. Jesus knew exactly who he was, and he constantly reaffirmed who he was with the words of his mouth. He let the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart say, "I am." Jesus was not afraid to say, "I am." And I'm saying to you today, it's not arrogant to verbally reaffirm who you are in Christ Jesus. I am not being arrogant when I say to you, "I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am resurrected with Christ. I am more than a conqueror." We need to reaffirm our faith in who we are. True humility won't deny a reality, and true humility is when you begin to acknowledge who you really are. And I'm going to tell you who we really are. I am a child of Almighty God. That's who I am. That's who you are. And as a child of God, I have a pathway to grace. God gives grace to the humble. And when I know who I am who God says I am. And I am seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness because I'm born of the Spirit of God. Father, I thank you for who we are and what we have. And who we are in you. I thank you that you are alive on planet Earth inside of believers, but you are alive in us corporately, working in us, and in all of creation, your power is alive. And Father, we just ask you to help us to find and seek your kingdom first above everything else. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.